Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. There's no business like your business. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank, banking for good. Member FDIC.
Are you ready?
Let's clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
It's gone from suck to blow.
What?
All right, so I rolled into this thing after Vance Joseph was fired, and I said, here's my criteria. I want a former head coach. I want a guy on the offensive side of the ball. Well, I didn't get what I wanted, but sometimes, like I said, you get what you need. Vic Fangio is a hell of a football coach. And the more guys that I talk to that have been around him, that have played for Vic Fangio, sing his praises. One, his demeanor, the confidence that he brings, the confidence that you play with when you go out there, the fact that he is a keep it simple, stupid coach. He wants his players to be able to play fast, to not have to think, but just to react. And his defenses over the years have been simple, but they have been outstanding. And I think back to those days in San Francisco when he was leading that defense and that team was going to the playoffs and going to a Super Bowl. I think back to what he did this year in Chicago with that group on the Chicago Bears. He has done it. He has done a phenomenal job with those defenses. And so to me, you know, sometimes that's what you need. You come in here, you get stronger on that side of the ball with great coaching. You bring Gary Kubiak back into the fold. You know, you're in a win mode now. And you've got head coaches that have been there that have done that before. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here like, was I a little bit disappointed? Maybe a little bit, yeah, but the bottom line is you've got great expertise in a time when everybody's just getting the next, you know, Sean McVay that they're looking for. I mean, I'm a lot happier about hiring Vic Fangio than I am if they were to go after Cliff Kingsbury. I can tell you that right now. So bottom line is I am willing to say, okay, let's see how this thing plays out when they get their coaching shoes on the grass.
That was awesome.
Clear the air with Mark Schlereth.
You know me, Mark. Far be it for me to want to throw your words back at you. It's not what I like to do.
They won't exactly be my words. This is where your genius. This is your genius. You'll take something I said and you'll manipulate it a little bit to make it fit whatever narrative that you're trying to make fun of me on.
Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough. But in this case, this is whole milk. This is exactly what you said. And I think it is important because you have said repeatedly it is so crucial that your head coach be able to command a room.
Correct.
Okay? Not misrepresenting you, correct?
That is correct.
Well, Vic Fangio's never done this.
That is also correct.
And his hiring is being hyped as what he's going to be able to do for this defense. You're not hiring a defensive coordinator. You're hiring a head coach. And how important is it for that coach to be able to come in and run a football team? Not just run a defense, but run a football team. That includes getting up week after week, day after day in front of this football team. And as you say, commanding a room. Sean McVay, everybody talks about the legend of McVay. Well, what makes McVay McVay, and you've been around him, isn't just his ability to call X's and O's offensively. It's what you have said to me repeatedly is that every time Sean McVay walks into a room, it energizes the room.
Right.
You say there are guys that either come in and energize the room or energize the room when they leave.
Right.
Absolutely.
Sean McVay can command a room.
Absolutely.
Do we know if Vic Fangio can do that?
We don't know anything. We don't know. We don't know. Obviously.
What's your gut feeling? Well, you've been around Fangio.
Right. My gut, there's different ways that you bring energy and excitement and confidence into a room. And here's the one thing about Fangio that gives me great hope. Okay. Because I think this is every bit as important, and it's lockstep. It's like a woven basket, Mike. You know, you get one of those great woven baskets that you look at it and you're like, wow, the workmanship is just unbelievable. Hand woven.
Strong wicker.
Right. Great wicker woven basket.
Bamboo.
Yeah, absolutely. The old bamboo. The old bamboo. You never better bother with the old bamboo.
What are we doing?
Here's the deal, though.
Relax, Millennial Ben.
Yeah, just calm down. Here's the deal, is that one thing I know about Vic Fangio is Vic Fangio is going to be Vic Fangio. There's an authenticity to him. There's a realness to him that he doesn't have to come in here and be anybody but who he is. And that is a huge plus when it comes to commanding the room. You may not be the most dynamic speaker, but you're Vic Fangio. And you've done this for a long time, and you're at a point, you know, there's a power, Mike, in giving zero poops. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a power in, like, I don't care what anybody else, it's the old saying, lions don't concern themselves with the opinion of sheep. There's a power to not having rabbit ears. There's a power to giving no poops. He gives no poops. He's going to be exactly who he is, and there's authenticity that is built into that. When do you think when Josh McDaniels was hired here, he knew who he was? No, he was mini little Belichick, right up to the point where he designed his desk in his office to look just like Belichick's.
He did?
Yes.
Ooh. Really? Ooh.
Yes. So there's this, like when I was playing for the Redskins and they hired Norv Turner, I can't tell you how many times Norv Turner had to talk about the Cowboys. This is the way we did it, you know. This is the way we did it with the Cowboys. And we're all like, dude, we're the Skins. And we whipped your ass many times. And we've won Super Bowls. Don't tell me about how the Cowboys did it. Like, you instantly get turned off to that. Vic Fangio is like, I mean, I'm Vic Fangio. I got a system, and my system is proven, and it works, and let's roll. We're gonna do what we do. You don't have to be... You know, you don't have to try to get credibility standing in the front of the room.
Vic Fangio, he doesn't give two poops. I think this could stick.
Right. He gives no poops.
He gives no poops. Vic Fangio, he gives no poops.
We're back.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I think so.
It's our first t-shirt.
Wouldn't that be great if we get him to get up there in his first press conference and say, I don't give two poops.
Fangio, he gives no poops.
Here's why I like the Fangio hire.
Okay.
And it's why I would have liked the Munchak hire. Is that, while we wait for the talent to catch up. Sorry, I don't think the Broncos are in win now mode. Not with the talent they have.
I completely agree.
Okay. But the other guy doesn't seem to feel that way. That's fine. The beauty of this hire.
The other guy, what are you talking about?
The man upstairs. That guy.
The Lord?
That guy. That guy. Well, yes. Yes. The Lord. Yes. When it comes to Denver, man, the Lord.
Mike hates.
Nope. You just agreed with me. Don't say I hate Elway when you then in the same breath say you agree with me and you don't think the talent on this team is good enough.
But, you know what? The Lord forgives you.
But the beauty of all this,
hatred.
The beauty of this hiring.
Yes.
The beauty of this hiring is that a very clear message has been sent that there's nothing wrong with the talent and that it was all about coaching. And you know what that means now? We have a legitimate bar to set this team at for next year. 9 wins minimum. Because if you win 6 games last year and the overwhelming feeling out there in Broncos country and apparently in the front office is that coaching was the reason, okay then. You have fixed that with these hires. And now the bar is set at 9 wins minimum, which I think is awesome because by this time next year, we will have clear-cut clarity on where exactly the Broncos are at and what happened the last couple of years. I think it's awesome because there will be no gray area anymore.
Right.
It'll be black or white.
Clear-cut clarity.
Clear-cut
alliteration clarity. Aside, I agree with you.
Clear-cut clarity.
See? That's the three C's. Clear-cut clarity.
Exactly.
CCC. Also make hockey states, I think.
There's something else that Vic Fangio,
CMC.
That the Vic Fangio hiring brings that I like a lot. And I'll tell you.
Okay. Next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Look, let me just get it out there. I'm not a huge fan of this move, okay? And in part, I'm taking the cue that you've always insisted as a former player, how important it is to have a coach that's empowered.
Right.
And I don't feel that Vic Fangio is truly being empowered. Look, on day one of this whole coaching search, John Elway said, yeah, Gary Kubiak's going to be here. And when you marry that with the knowledge and the reports and teams that were interested in talking to Gary as their offensive coordinator, that the understanding that Gary would be the offensive coordinator in whatever coaching scenario the Broncos came up with. So right from the get-go, yeah, it's possible. Yes, it is possible that if left to his own decision-making, Vic Fangio would have said, you know, this Kubiak guy, you know, I know he's not doing anything right now, but I want him to be my offensive coordinator. Okay. Maybe that would have happened. But the fact is that anybody who talked to the Broncos about this head coaching job went in with the understanding Kubiak's going to be a part of that. So to me, that takes away the empowerment that you say is so important for a head coach to have.
Well, let me just interrupt you right there because there are reports right now that Matt Rhule, the Baylor coach, was set to be the Jets head coach, but the Jets said, hey man, you know, you're not going to have any say in the players that we pick. And oh, by the way, you've got to keep the offensive coordinator. You got to keep that. And Matt Rhule said, hey, pound sand, kick rocks. I'm staying at Baylor. I'm just like, that to me is a wise decision by a guy who's got that kind of clout right now. Go back to Baylor. Get yourself a better situation because you're talking about an incredibly dysfunctional organization. And it's really hard, as Jeff Saturday pointed out earlier, you have a certain set of standards, a certain system, a certain belief, and you've got some coaches that you want to bring with you that you know can implement that, that can coach the players, that can get guys to buy in. Like, I think there is part of it, like, Mike, like you want, to me, when you get an ability to go somewhere, like and you get kind of a quote unquote upgrade, and there's only 32 of these, right? You want to bring some people with you, right? You want to have some familiarity. You want to have some guys that you can count on. You want to have, like, most coaches that I've ever been around, most coaches have an authoritative coach, like good cop, bad cop coach. And it's usually your O-line coach. In a lot of cases, it can be a D coordinator, defensive line coach, right? Like when I was in Washington, Joe Bugle was Joe Gibbs's bad guy. And it didn't matter what position you played, man, he wouldn't hesitate to cuss you out. When I was here, it was Alex Gibbs. And I've watched Alex Gibbs in front of a team meeting rip John Elway for not carrying out a boot keep fake. You know, who the do you think you are? You know, I mean, that I've seen that. And I think that's important. So when you're a coach getting an opportunity and you're going and the Jets are trying to hire you, you're going, I got to bring a couple of my guys with me. And they're saying, no, you got to keep the guys because we don't want to spend the money. Like, good for Matt Rhule just to have a principle and to say, no, that's not going to work for me.
The other reason I'm not a big fan of the Fangio hiring has nothing to do with my own opinion. And let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
Covered the Broncos here for over 20 years. Here's what I know. When they've had their most success, it's been with coaches who had coached before.
Right.
Mike Shanahan, John Fox, Gary Kubiak.
Correct.
Here's what I also learned over 20 years of covering the Broncos. The two times that they turned to somebody who had never coached before.
Never been a head coach before.
Head coach.
Right.
It was a disaster. Josh McDaniels and Vance Joseph. So I got 20 years of history to point to say this is a move that I'm highly skeptical about it being able to work out.
Right.
Based on Broncos history, not on any opinion,
mm-hmm.
but just based on what we know. If you've been a fan for 20 years or more, this is what is the history of the Denver Broncos. And this move flies in the face of that. That's all. Here's why I like the Fangio hiring. My feeling going in was, whether it's Munchak or Fangio or Pagano, what I liked about those guys is that while you wait for the talent to catch up, you will have somebody who will come in who will at least preach toughness and discipline. And if you're trying to build something long-lasting here, naturally, you have to have the talent. But you also have to have a culture of toughness and accountability and discipline. And if this guy can come in and preach that, along with Gary in an old school way, that I think is the upside of this hiring.
I'll add one more. I'll add one more to that, that I think has become the most, probably the most important thing about coaching in today's NFL that, that never gets talked about. Your ability in limited time with the players to actually coach them, to actually develop them. You know, I'm talking to Sean Payton about this. Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, I was out at training camp with them doing some stuff. And they're like, look, we got these, you know, $50, $100 million facilities, strength coaches, you know, yada, 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 on and on and on. The greatest, you know, equipment facilities and training rooms and, you know, state-of-the-art everything, you know, with high, you know, hyperbolic chambers and oxygen tents and you name it. And the players have collectively bargained the use of those facilities out. So now players are spending $50,000 to train or $100,000 to train February through April at some elite clinic when you have an elite clinic right down the street from where you live and you're not allowed to talk to the coaches. And you're not, I mean, it's asinine. Like our players association, sometimes the levels of stupidity befuddle me. Why would you have your guys spending $100,000 to do what you can do for free down at the facility? And you have everybody and all those things at your disposal. And so I think the thing that you have to understand is Fangio has done this. He's got a system. He knows how to teach it. He knows how to talk. He knows how to talk to players to get them to play at their best level. So does Kubiak. It's about developing those kids and developing your young players in a short amount of time. And that's a skill set in and of itself. And if you don't have it from a coaching standpoint, you're never going to develop. You're never going to get to your potential.
Okay. 100% agree with that. But you've also told me in your one-on-one conversations with Kyle Shanahan, how much he has shared with you, like, wow, you know, gone are the days of just being able to lock myself in a film room and
correct.
Just dissect the other team's defense and put together a game plan.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that anymore.
Right.
You know, I'm out. I'm sitting in on the special teams.
I got to actually shower.
You know,
like that was one of the things he said. He goes, I got to actually shower and make myself presentable as I am. As I always say, you know, commanding the room, commanding the media, talking to my team. Like that's nothing I ever had to do. I could lock myself in there for 3 days without a shower.
I think the original reaction to Vic Fangio here over the last 24 hours has been, you're getting a great defensive coach. You didn't hire a defensive coach. You hired a head coach. And based on what you've told me,
mm-hmm.
there is a stark difference between the two.
Correct.
Okay. And this guy's never done this.
And so that you go back through the learning curve once again, and there's going to be a big learning curve. And you know, ultimately, it's probably why, you know, for having Gary Kubiak is an important part of that, because he's done this for a long time.
Speaking of Sean Payton, did he just do something yesterday to guarantee that the New Orleans Saints win the Super Bowl? Four Down Territory's next.
I want Mason Glory Hole.
This is Four Down Territory.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Pound it, launch it, and bring the funk.
Now. If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I want to kiss you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
You just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan. First down.
When you bring in Vic, he's going to run the defense. Gary Kubiak's going to run the offense. And you've got a situation that's a home run, right? So basically, that's the deal. And Gary's not going to be looking to leave for a head coaching job, right? And so they have security in both places.
There's Adam Schefter, our NFL insider, who was on with Pritch and Cecil breaking the story about Vic Fangio being the next coach of the Broncos. Along with the Gary Kubiak role, are we looking at something that is, for those who like outside-the-box thinking, are we getting that here in Denver? Do we have co-head coaches?
No, we don't have. I mean, there's going to be one head coach, but you've got two guys with great head coaching experience. And Gary's not one of those guys that's going to try to take over things. Like, I think Gary is really very comfortable. Well, I know Gary's very comfortable in his own skin, and I think he's very excited just to be the coordinator.
Okay, but if the idea is, and this is being sort of presented as Vic Fangio runs the defense, Gary runs the offense.
So correct. That's exactly what Adam Schefter basically said.
Okay. Hear me out. So it's fourth and one. Fourth and a long one. At the other guy's 40.
Okay.
Gary runs the offense, right? Gary wants to go for it. You're telling me all of a sudden now Vic Fangio, the guy that's here to put his imprint on the defense, is going to sit back and go, no, we're going to punt it. Is that how this is going to work?
Oh, I think that would be a mutual. He'll have the final say in the decision based upon, you know, the game situation, where they are, how they're playing defense. Yeah, Gary is.
But you want that? Don't you want the guy that's here to run the offense and the guy that's run the offense for a long time? Don't you want him to be the one? It's his area of expertise.
See, but it's the complementary nature of winning a football game. It's about winning a football game. It's exactly why John DeFilippo was fired in Minnesota. Because Zimmer is like, no, I want you to play conservative. I want to make sure that every drive ends in a kick, whether it's a punt, field goal, or extra point. And there has to be some situations where you have to understand that running the football and eating up some clock and consuming some clock helps my defense out. And you're not willing to do that. Eventually, you're going to get fired. I think there's a mutual understanding, but Fangio is going to be the one that says, yes, we go for it, or no, in this situation, based on the game, we don't.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Baker's not going to blow smoke up anybody's. If he said it, that's what he feels. And I'm standing behind Baker Mayfield. All right. I don't care about anybody that doesn't work in this building and what they think about what he said. That's what I stand behind. It's him and these players in this locker room.
All right. There is Freddie Kitchens, who forged a terrific relationship with Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
And it was enough to get him the head coaching position. Adam Gase, hired specifically with the Jets with the idea he's going to get the most out of Sam Darnold. Cliff Kingsbury, hired with the specific purpose of getting more out of Josh Rosen. Let me ask you something. Had our man D-Mac and others got their wish, and the Broncos would have drafted, fill in the blank, at number five, quarterback, and that quarterback was here today, would they have hired Vic Fangio? Or would they have followed the trend, the herd mentality in the NFL is, you got a young quarterback you have to develop, go get a young offensive-minded coach to be your head coach.
I'll give Elway a lot of props on this. I don't think Elway is going to, you know, fall for the banana in the tailpipe. We got a young guy. We got to have a young guy that, you know, that brushed up against McVay.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty sure with, I mean,
if Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, if they were the quarterback here right now, and you were making a coaching change?
So you're basically saying that he's going to dump Gary Kubiak? Hey, Gary, it's been really good. Thanks for helping me out. You're gone? No.
Oh, no, maybe it would have been a head coach, offensive-minded head coach paired with Gary.
Well, then you're basically saying we want a young, innovative head coach, and then here goes Gary that's going to do, you know, what Gary's always done. I mean,
So Gary here is here with the understanding that Gary's still going to be Gary. Gary's going to be running the stuff that he ran in 1998.
1998. Gary was coaching in 2015. What about the stuff that won the Super Bowl in 2015? I mean, don't
which looked a lot like the stuff
that
he ran in 1998.
Which is exactly what Kyle Shanahan, a young offensive coordinator with a third-string quarterback and one tight end that you have to cover, you've doused this outstanding defense that's still got championship-level caliber.
All right, so you believe that if they were, if they had Allen, Rosen, Darnold, or Jackson, that Vic Fangio and Gary Kubiak would still be the coaching choice?
I absolutely do not believe, whether it's those guys or somebody else, I absolutely do not believe that Elway would say, yeah, let me go out and get Cliff Kingsbury, who was 35-40 at Texas Tech, where they don't play defense in the Big 12, and you can't even win with Mike Leach's guys. Stop.
Showtime!
Next in four down territory.
Third down.
Right now, my decision is to go play baseball. Like I said, yeah, I'm just taking it one day at a time. Like, I mean, I'm enjoying this week. This is, like I said, a once in a lifetime opportunity. And yeah, I'm just having fun with it.
That is Oklahoma Sooner Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Kyler Murray, who was a very high draft pick of the Oakland A's. In fact, got $5 million signing bonus from the Oakland A's. But now reports are that the A's believe Kyler Murray will go into the NFL draft.
And he should.
Why?
If he is projected to be a first rounder, he's going to make, there's an article out today, he's going to make 2 to 7 times more money in the first, I think the first 8 years of his deal than he will in baseball. He'll make more money. If he's a first round draft choice, he will make more money playing football than baseball. After that, I think it's 4.7 that he signed for the Oakland A's. I mean, you've got a minor league. How long is your minor league career? Once you get to the big leagues, you got to have 4 years of service before you're arbitration eligible. Arbitration eligible, you get an average, which will be a couple of million dollars. And then if you're an all-star, you'll get money. You'll get paid. If you're not an all-star, you won't. The odds of him playing at the major league level is far, far slimmer than the odds of him being a good quarterback in the NFL. Even if he's a marginal quarterback in the NFL, he's going to make more money than he will in baseball.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
Yeah, it's pretty motivating to see the Lombardi Trophy with a bundle of cash like that, you know, so that's definitely motivating. Just a little bit, you know, extra incentive, just, you know, what are we playing for, you know? Of course, everybody's playing to be champion, but that trophy, that bread, you know, all that's on the line, so another little way to get us going.
There's Mark Ingram, running back for the New Orleans Saints. You talk about a coach commanding a room. Boy, mm-hmm. Did Sean Payton have the undivided attention of his players when he walked into the room yesterday with three armed guards, a stack of more than $200,000 in cash, and the Lombardi Trophy, as well as a Super Bowl ring, and said, "You guys want this? Win three bleeping games."
Right.
Not bad.
That is great. Stack of $225,000, bunch of stacks of high society with the Lombardi Trophy and a ring on top of it. Here's what you're playing for, boys. I mean, it just is really cool. I'm a Sean Payton fan. I like Sean a lot. And, I think it's a cool thing. He's constantly doing stuff like that. You know, every year they do something at their facility. They redo something. He goes, every year I want something new at the facility. When the guys come back from, you know, from their negotiated lockout, I want them to have some new treat, you know, to redo their lockers, redo their whatever. He's really into the players and making sure that, you know, he keeps them, motivated, or he keeps them inspired, I guess.
There's a the stories about Payton are pretty legendary, that he's put mouse traps around the facility to warn players against eating the cheese.
Mm-hmm.
He's dressed like Bill Belichick to give a mock scouting report on his players. He's even flown in mascots from his players' alma maters.
Flew me in to speak to his team.
Were you a mascot?
No, it was just me. Flew me in to speak to his team. After they won the Super Bowl, about back-to-back championships, what it takes, they lost.
I love what some of these coaches do. There was one time, I'm not going to say who the coach is, but he used to coach at CU.
Uh-huh.
And I was there one day during the week, and I was just standing outside the locker room, and this coach came walking by dressed in full military army fatigues on his way to address the team.
Uh-huh.
And you can tell, you know, the idea was, you know, right. we're going into battle type thing, right?
Right.
Full military fatigues. And one of the PR guys is like, you weren't supposed to see that. I said, my lips are sealed. So
that is good. I might have to come up with a story of something that a coach did to motivate the football team. See if I can think of something.
Think of something. Okay. See what you do.
All right.
That's Four Down Territory, a tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Want to get your reaction to the Vic Fangio hiring, the pairing with Gary Kubiak, and the idea of the Broncos in win-now mode. Does that affect what they do at the quarterback position? That's next. No, I did not know that an eggplant is purple, okay? I learned that yesterday.
Do you have you ever eaten eggplant?
I hate eggplant.
Parmesan?
Hate eggplant.
How can you hate
my mom
eggplant?
Is visiting. She absolutely loves eggplant parm. Loves it. She also loves liver, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear to God. There were times.
Just the
my mom,
smell.
I love my mom, but there were times that we literally, as a kid, my sister and I had the stare down with my mother. You know, the whole game. You are not leaving this table until you eat your liver. Fine. Game on.
I cannot, to this day, I couldn't choke down a piece of liver if, I don't care how many onions you pour over the damn thing.
Uh-huh. Ketchup, whatever.
Just the smell of liver makes me.
I'm telling you, the impasse that is the current government shutdown was nothing compared to the impasse that went on at the Evans table.
Right.
When it came to.
What ended up happening? Did you
liver.
Just go to bed hungry?
I did.
Yeah. That's what I would have to do.
Because she didn't back down either.
It's like the smell of, like, you know, the smell of Copenhagen. You know what that smells like?
Oh, yeah.
If I take a whiff of Copenhagen, I will throw up in that trash can right now. And it all stems back to the first time I tried some Copenhagen when I was in college, because, you know, the other guys chewed, so it was going to be cool.
Yeah.
I put some Copenhagen in, eventually kind of swallowed the spit, and got violently ill, which is probably the best thing that can happen to you.
Yes.
Like, I just got violent. Like, I can't even smell it without a like just total overreactive gag reflex.
I don't know how we got. That was just
random
fallout from our conversation during the break. The Broncos are in. Do you believe the Broncos believe under John Elway? Does John Elway believe the Broncos are in win now mode?
Does he really believe it?
Yes. Because that's how this move is being sold, spun, portrayed, celebrated, fill in the blank, however you want to look at it, is that this is a clear signal that John Elway's in it to win it now.
Okay, so this is what I think. I think John realizes that there are parts of the roster that aren't ready to win now. But, and here's the caveat, but if we put together a staff that can develop young players and we have another draft like we had last year and we sign a couple of key free agents. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs here. If we sign a couple of key free agents and maybe we upgrade the quarterback position with Joe Flacco, then yeah, we're right back in it. And frankly, here's the interesting thing about this, Mike. You look at the AFC in general, right? There's the Patriots. But the Patriots, from a talent standpoint, are down. They've lost five games. I think they lost five games this year to non-playoff teams, Mike. It's the first time in the Belichick-Brady era that's ever happened.
Yeah, it's their worst season in 11 years.
Yeah. So they're experiencing a lack of development of players who can take over for
correct.
The next guys, you know? And it's amazing that they've been able to be on this run for as long as they have. But you look at... You look at New England. Obviously, they're still there because they've got the quarterback and they've got the coaching, right? Then you start to go through the division. Houston looks like they're going to be on a run for a while. Indianapolis looks like they're going to be on a run for a while. The rest of that division is the rest of that division. So I'm not too worried about that. So there's three teams, right? Now we look at the North. Pittsburgh, they've got a ton of talent. They've got an issue internally with, you know, with Antonio Brown, selfishness, Ben Roethlisberger, you know, just the kind of the immature nature, the lack of maturity. You know, I was thinking about this last night. on a just on a tangent. Like, how could you see what Ryan Shazier is going through? Losing his career, being one of the best young players in football, one of the best young linebackers in football, right? And breaking or fracturing his back, losing his career, battling back just to walk. How can you be such a selfish turd that is Antonio Brown with that guy? How can you think, like, you're just... It is mind-boggling to me that you can witness that and be a part of that, and you can still act the way you act. I just like to, to dude, I like.
You gotta keep our composure.
Yeah, you know what? I need to keep my composure. Anyhow, that was a side tangent. Sorry about
God,
that.
God, I hope you get a Pittsburgh Steeler game or wherever he's traded to.
Yeah,
game.
Good. Because let me tell you, there's one guy not afraid of him. It's me. Like, he may be able to whip a lot of asses. Mine's not one of them. I'll tell you that right now. So he ain't tough enough.
Just gave me goosebumps.
Right. But you're looking at Baltimore and you're looking at Baltimore and Pittsburgh in that division. And then what division am I missing? The South. I did the North, the East, the South, the West.
Yeah. About that.
Yeah. Well, the Chargers are really good. as are.
Showtime! I think there's a very good chance the AFC Championship game is going to be an AFC West battle. Chargers are going to beat the Patriots.
I believe that too, but I think the Colts could go into...
Yeah!
Like Kansas City has a rich tradition of choking
Remember
in the
September
playoffs.
Darlings.
September Darlings.
Way back in September when you and I were eating crow about Showtime, we did say the one thing we could still hold on to... September Darlings followed by January Chokers.
All right. This is good. You know what else would be good for September Darlings? Neil Diamond. September morning. September darling. We danced until the night became a brand new day. You know, like that.
That's not bad. What's better? Your Neil Diamond or your Gordon
Lightfoot?
Well,
I didn't even work my Neil Diamond there. I could get way better on Neil Diamond there.
Millennial Ben?
There's nothing better than Gordon Lightfoot. Yeah. Yeah. Gordon Lightfoot's
All right. If you are in it to win it now.
Correct.
And who out there as a Bronco fan doesn't love the idea that John Elway believes this team can win?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Right?
Correct.
Then you can't have Case Keenum as your quarterback.
Well, wait, he's a franchise quarterback.
Good. Learn what it is to be a franchise quarterback.
Good point. Now, come on.
But he didn't say he was a franchise quarterback. He said he learned what it is to be a franchise quarterback. That could mean that, and I realize that I'm not one.
So, I don't think Case Keenum is the answer. I know you don't think Case Keenum is the answer. But,
mm-hmm.
Is the idea of Gary Kubiak being here in this role because he discovered Case Keenum way back when?
Right.
The idea is that Gary is going to be able to unlock all this potential in Case Keenum and turn him into a franchise quarterback. And if he does that and Case Keenum becomes that kind of quarterback, then yes, the Broncos are in win now mode because you got the kind of quarterback that can win now.
Let me ask.
Is that the plan?
All right. I don't know. You know what? Let me answer your question by asking you a question, which doesn't really answer your question, but I just have a different question. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay, so did the Broncos in their desire to retain Kubiak and have him be the play caller, was it to make this a destination that's more attractive for Joe Flacco,
mm-hmm.
one, or knowing that salary cap wise and quote unquote rebuilding wise, even though we're not saying rebuilding, that we're not going to spend the money to go after Joe Flacco because we're going to have to commit to him for 3 or 4 years, is it a part to say, hey, if we run the ball and we, you know, create an offense that's a little bit more Case Keenum friendly and the relationship that Gary Kubiak has with Case Keenum, we'll get the best out of Case Keenum, whatever that is. It's never going to be elite, but it'll be a lot better than it was last year.
Okay, if you are going to sell me on the idea that Gary Kubiak was brought here to get the most out of a quarterback that he's familiar with,
mm-hmm.
then you got to go get Joe Flacco. You have to.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what I know. When Case Keenum played for Gary Kubiak, he played a combined 10 games in 2 years, threw for 2,000 yards, 11 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, and had a quarterback rating actually below what his quarterback rating was this past year.
He sucks.
When Gary Kubiak coached Joe Flacco in 2014, Joe Flacco threw for 4,000 yards, the second highest yard total in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He threw for 27 touchdowns, the highest touchdown number in his career. And his quarterback rating was 91, which is the second highest quarterback rating in his career. The man had, out of a 11-year career, arguably his best year, partnered up with Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, now,
so if you're telling me Gary is here to get the most out of a quarterback that he knows, they got to go get Joe Flacco.
Okay, well, the one problem.
And they got to be reunited.
Yeah.
Peaches and Herb style.
Oh, I love Peaches and Herb. Back in that day, seventh grade.
Oh, this is seventh grade, baby.
Oh, man. What was her name? Seventh grade? Yeah.
That would have been Sue Chapman.
Oh, Sue Chapman. Sue.
Who was it for you?
Who wasn't? They were all lined up.
So many. Hard to keep track.
My dance card was full.
Yeah. What were we talking about? Okay, flight. But here's the deal. The problem with what you presented there was
facts.
They're facts that aren't like they're tilted facts.
Really?
Well,
do tell me.
Well, because
are these fake facts?
When Case Keenum got the opportunity, he was a young player that had no experience. That was a free agent. A free agent signee, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his numbers under Kubiak are, they're not going to be as good, and the Ravens were a much better team. So, some of those are slanted. Yeah, Flacco is a better quarterback. I'll give you that. Those stats are a little bit wonky.
Wonky?
Yeah, those are a little wonky. It's what people use stats to back up. Like, I can take a stat and essentially make it anything I want to be.
All right, I'll tell you what. Fine. Okay. Put the stats aside for a second. I don't think it's hard. You were covering the NFL.
Yeah, let me go eyeball on you.
Yeah, go eyeball on me. You saw him play that year.
Mm, yeah, he's way better. So.
See, that wasn't that hard. Yeah,
I will tell you this, which was interesting. Watching that, watching them initially, we always talk about the adjustments and, Gary Kubiak set his ways. And it was really interesting watching Flacco early that season with Gary calling plays. A lot of 18-19 handoff, the boot keep game. Joe Flacco was horrible outside the tackle box on boots throwing completions. Like, he'd have a wide open dude and he'd dirt the ball. He was awful, absolutely awful. And about week three or so, they just scrap piled it and everything became play pass. So now you're setting up, 9 to 11 yards deep behind behind one of the tackles off the play action. Like, it's a real deep set and then driving the ball down the football field. And so he went from like really struggling in Gary's offense, then Gary making an adjustment and him really thriving in that. So, there are adjustments that can be made even in when you think about Gary as being kind of a stringent coordinator that wants to run a certain system, there's a ton of opportunity to manipulate that.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.